Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Friday, everybody. We've made it to the end of another week. And it's a big weekend ahead in the sports world. Every weekend seems to be big. Especially this one, because we got a big game coming up on Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, just a couple days away. We'll talk about Super Bowl 57 later on in the program. Feel free to start flooding the talker text line with your predictions for Super Bowl 57. Who do you think's going to win? Give me your MVP pick or a bold prediction at 319-366-1600 for the big game coming up on Sunday. Who do you think's going to win? MVP pick or bold prediction for Sunday. We'll share those coming up later on in the show. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, is here as well. Got you covered for the next hour with local sports talk here on KGYM. Again, 319-366-1600, our talk or text line here on this Friday afternoon, 10th day of February of 2023. Glad to be with you from the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Super Bowl talk will take up a good chunk of our show today. We are going to get to a little basketball, get to a few other NFL news and notes. We had our end of the season awards, NFL honors handed out last night, and we'll recap those. Maybe get to a little baseball. The World Baseball Classic is coming up, and we had the roster reveals last night for all the countries participating in the World Baseball Classic, including the U.S. and some notable names that are playing elsewhere, honoring their heritage. And we'll tell you about that if we get some time later on in the show. But we are going to start with the world of college hoops. Couple big games last night. You remember our poll question from yesterday at KGYMradio.com? We asked you, how did you think the Iowa basketball teams were going to fare as part of the big night against top five teams? First time in history, the Iowa men's and women's basketball teams were playing top five teams in the same day or same night. Well, I think 1-1 was, I think, the high water mark. I think it was a little bit too much to ask to say 2-0 for both teams last night. Well, we didn't get either of those. We got an 0-2 night. As I thought, as I think a lot of you thought too, the Iowa women, Hawkeye women, had a better chance to win that game against Indiana last night than the men did. The men gave a good showing in the second half, but ultimately, after the dust settled last night, an 0-2 night for the Hawkeye basketball programs. And we'll jump in with that discussion here in just a few moments. Again, 319-366-1600 as we kick off 4 hours of local sports talk here on KGYM. Every Monday through Friday, we're here for 4 hours, 2 until 6 p.m., bringing you the latest from the sports world. This show, Spencer on Sports, the gym class from 3 until 4, and the Todd Brownell Camp Show on the way later on today and every weekday between 4 and 6. Let's start with chance that Iowa had last night on the men's side to knock off number one Purdue. And, well, Zach, we talked about neutralizing Zach Edey. That was one of the things. Can you do that successfully and prevent the other guys on the roster for Purdue, the Braden Smiths of the world, the Fletcher Lawyers, the Mason Gillises, from hurting you with what they do on offense? And we got the answer to that question. Iowa focused on Zach Edey, holding him to 4 points and 8 rebounds in the first half. Led to a strong performance from the supporting cast and a team that runs primarily through their big man, Zach Edey. Got big nights from Braden Smith. Mentioned him, 24 points when all is said and done, 5 assists. Fletcher Lawyer, 17 in the end. And even with the Hawkeyes coming back and making it a close game in the second half, that first half hole was just too much for Iowa as they fall to the number one team in the country, 87-73. I think the stat we shared yesterday on the show was Iowa, although they had beaten a number one overall team 3 times in their history, I think it was 3-21, the stat from yesterday. it was 0-9, now 0-10 on the road when facing a number one overall team after the loss to Purdue last night. Things started out real well if you take, you know, first basket wins, if you're going to change the rules and play Calvin ball. Bonus points if you know where Calvin ball comes from. You know, Iowa scored the first basket of the game. You're thinking, hey, everything's hunky-dory, right? We're going to get this and upset the number one team in their home floor. And, well, that went away pretty quick. Now, I'm not saying I thought that. I don't think any of you thought that. But if you're, you know, really, truly wearing the black and gold glasses last night, maybe you had that thought cross your mind. But nice start to the game. First basket went to Chris Murray. Purdue then a 19-2 run to take a 15-point lead. It was a 17-point advantage for Purdue at halftime, 38-21. Hawkeyes shooting 29% from the floor in the first half, just 1 of 10 from 3, and that's not going to get it done. Now, they were better in the second half. That is very true. Getting that lead down to as little as 6 points, rallying from down 21 at the 18-14 mark of the second half, to get within 6 with 5:39 left. But then the guy you knew Purdue was counting on to make big plays in a big game, Zach Edey, got back-to-back baskets, including a dunk that pushed the lead back to 10. Iowa never got closer than that the rest of the way. Closest they got was 11 down the stretch in that contest. Rand McCaffrey talking after the game last night, talking about being able to hold Zach Edey relatively in check. Again, 4 points, 8 rebounds in the first half. Finished with a double-double of 14 points and 14 rebounds, but letting other guys, letting that supporting cast have their day and have a say in how the game ended.
Our anticipation and rotations were not good enough, clearly. And it's hard, you know, because they got a lot of them, and they're a team that is very unselfish. They move it, they share it. You know, there's no selfishness at all with this team, so you know, you got a lot of ground to cover when you're doubling, because now you've got 3 guarding 4. And there's always somebody at the front of the rim, so you got to guard that person, whoever that is, usually First or Gillis, but somebody else.
I mentioned, and Fran McCaffrey there post-game after the loss to Purdue, and 86-99 pointing it out on the text line as well at 319-366-1600. A lot of missed shots last night. A lot of point blank ones, like you mentioned, 86-99 with layups and easy shots that can be made, and you'll get shooting by period. That big second half where you went 21 of 35 from the floor, 60% shooting. That was not nearly enough to undo, like I mentioned, the 10 of 34 shooting. So that's what, 24 missed shots in that first half, 1 of 10 from 3. And a lot of people pointing out the lack of fouls in the game, 13 and 8 total fouls. So it's what, 21 total fouls in the game. I know Fran McCaffrey was asked about it after the game, and his initial thought was the pace of the game maybe leading to the lack of foul calls. But we talked about, and one of the things, you know, that seems to be true for this Iowa team is free throw shooting and making free throws. When you don't even get a free throw opportunity in a half, you don't miss a free throw, so that doesn't go against you. But at the same time, when you're not getting an opportunity, Iowa going 0-for-0 in the first half, did not get an opportunity. It's not like Purdue got a ton either. They were only 2 of 3 from the foul line in the first half. When those opportunities to score with the clock stopped at the free throw line aren't there, it's tough to make up points, especially in a big deficit like that. For what it's worth, in the second half, Iowa went 6 of 7 from the charity stripe. Purdue was a perfect 9 for 9 from the floor, only missing 1 foul shot in that game. Now, granted, foul shots were not the entire story, but free throws, it's hard for them to matter that much when you had dig yourself that big of a hole in that first half. Looking at the stat lines for Iowa, a solid night from Chris Murray, 24 points, 10 of 16 from the floor. Philip Rabracha with 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists as well, finishing 8 of 12 from the floor. Those are your only 2 players in double figures. Patrick McCaffrey tossing in 9 points. You saw Tony Perkins, 8 points, 4 of 10 shooting from him. Connor McCaffrey, just 3 points on the night, 1 for 6 from the floor, 1 of 4 from long range. Did finish with 8 assists, so set up Some good baskets last night, but not much production beyond your two leading scorers in Chris Murray and Philip Rabracha last night in that affair. So Hawkeyes get the loss. They take the loss. Again, you give them a ton of credit for battling. Give them a ton of credit for staying with it, getting that lead down to six. Maybe a little bit of flicker of hope in that second half, but really Purdue just too much. Their supporting cast plus a little bit of Zach Edey in the second half getting it done as they retain that number one position. No upset last night as the Hawkeyes fall 87-73. Now, the good news for Iowa, despite the loss, 15-9 overall, 7-6 in the Big Ten. If you follow bracketology, Joey Brackets, Joe Lenardi, had Iowa as a sixth seed in his latest projection earlier today. Again, still a long way to go before the brackets come out and all is said and done. Looking at things from a positive side of things, not saying it's a guarantee because nothing is guaranteed in college basketball, let alone the Big Ten, but possibility, a likelihood of a get-right game this weekend. Minnesota, they did not play earlier this week, had to postpone their Illinois game. As far as we're aware, there has not been a change to the schedule for the game this weekend as the Hawkeyes take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers, who've won just once out of the 12 Big Ten games they played, 1-11 in conference, 7-15 overall. Their own lone win on the season coming against Ohio State on the road in Columbus, and the Gophers have not won since January 12th. That is, what, a six-game losing streak, seven-game losing streak. They were 1-4, now 1-11, so that would be seven games if my math is correct, and it is. So chance for a get-right game, a chance for a bounce-back game against a Minnesota team that has struggled this season. So if you can get that on the road, win the only matchup you have with the Gophers, and you're Iowa, you get to 8-6. And 16-9 with some important games still to come on your schedule. Some rematches coming up. A rematch with Ohio State. Of course, beat the Hawkeyes in Columbus back on January 21st. Second meeting with Northwestern. Second meeting with Wisconsin. And you see Michigan State again, a game that Iowa thought they could have in East Lansing. Tough game on the schedule. Going to be at Indiana, and then A possible revenge game on Senior Day on March 5th against the Cornhuskers in Iowa City. So some very winnable games coming up, but it's all about how you respond after a loss. And all signs pointing to, at least when you look at things, the Hawkeyes getting a win coming up in Minnesota on Sunday, which is a noon tip-off on FS1 for Sunday's affair with the Golden Gophers. One other Big Ten game last night, though, was Northwestern on the men's side, beating Ohio State 69-63. Bowie with 19 points. Brooks Barnheiser also chipping in 19 off the bench. And Chase Audige had 12. Justice Suing 19-8. In the loss for the Buckeyes, they've lost five in a row. Ohio State, again, their only win in their last long stretch of games since January 5th was that win over Iowa. So Iowa certainly would like to return the favor on their home court coming up here next Thursday. But Ohio State reeling here, 3-10 in Big Ten play, and 11-13 overall, taking on Michigan State coming up on Sunday at noon. Some other Big Ten action this weekend. Get to that later on in the show. But looking at the other big game from last night, transitioning from the men's side to the women's side, Iowa women did not get a repeat of upsetting the number two team on their home floor. Of course, they did it against Ohio State just a couple weeks back. Spites 35-point and 10-assist effort from Caitlin Clark, Indiana Hoosiers defending their home court 87-78 last night. Grace Berger leading the way for the number two team in the country with 26 points and 9 rebounds. Mackenzie Holmes, we talked about that big battle with the two of the best in shooting percentage, shooting efficiency for post players between Holmes and Monica Sonano. Holmes won that battle points-wise and defensive-wise as well. Holmes with 24 points on the night. And when it comes to the defensive side of things, Indiana as a whole holding Monica Sinano to 6 points, 7 rebounds, and a foul out, finishing with 5 fouls on the night. So almost as many fouls as points. And Iowa needing someone to step up, match that production, match what they usually get from Monica Sinano on any given night. Couldn't really get that, although Hannah Stolke did do her best as a freshman coming in. The one thing, and this didn't just plague Hannah, it plagued everybody on the team, missed free throws and turnovers, too, in that game. Hannah Stolke, in particular, kind of an interesting stat line. Don't really see this all too often. 5 of 5 from the field, but 0 for 8 from the foul line. And that was a record crowd last night. Maybe it was a little bit of the crowd. Maybe it was just an off-night shooting. Who knows? But got to make free throws. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it, and we all know it. Free throws matter. And Iowa just 12 of 23 as a team from the foul line. Indiana going 22 of 34 from the charity stripe last night. I mentioned turnovers last night. Hoosiers getting 18 turnovers, turning over Iowa 18 times, getting 14 points off those turnovers last night. And we heard Lisa Bluter talk about it during the week, too. Three-point shooting has been Indiana's calling card. They've been doing real well at that this year. And that was the difference last night. One of the differences last night, too, is Iowa shot 6 of 23 from beyond the arc last night. Indiana was 50%, 7 of 14, and made some big threes in some big spots last night. Half of the three-point makes were from Caitlin Clark. She had an off night from the three-point, from beyond three-point, the three-point line, I should say, just 3 of 11 from three. Last night in the loss. So Hawkeyes, if you could take something away from it, I was thinking about this last night watching both that game and the men's game and speaking about the women's game specifically, but doesn't it kind of feel, I know it's two different seasons, you know, it's tough to compare season to season, but kind of to me feels like last year for the women's team, what you saw with the Michigan series. They go to Ann Arbor, they lose a tough game, Caitlin Clark goes off, has a fantastic game. They have a couple weeks to you know, correct the correctables, develop a game plan, make some adjustments, and then much like last year, where you saw Michigan come into Carver late in the season, something on the line, possibility of a share of the Big Ten championship. Got Indiana coming to town in front of a sold-out crowd on February 26th. Could something be on the line? Hoosiers, you know, they've still have to play, I believe, Ohio State. Yet, I think that's coming up on Monday for the Indiana women. So not a sure thing yet that they have sealed up the Big Ten crown. Yeah, they've got Ohio State, Michigan, and the Hawkeyes Indiana does on the women's side. So could we be looking at kind of a similar scenario to last season that we saw with Iowa and their series against Michigan last year, where they were able to win on their home floor on the last game of the regular season? Who knows, obviously, but I thought kind of eerily similar, at least in my mind, when you look at how things played out in Indiana last night. It really was that second half. Despite the turnovers, despite the missed free throws, the Hawkeyes playing a solid first half. If you watched that game last night, 39 all at the break. Indiana really pulling away in that second half, especially in the fourth quarter. Still tied early on in that fourth, but Indiana pushing it to 10 with 3:24 left. Iowa got it down to 6 with 2:07 to play, and Indiana ended up winning that contest by 11. So a game that, you know, who knows? We know it's tough to win in the Big Ten, tough to win in any conference on the road. We'll see if Iowa can get the return matchup in Iowa City coming up here on the 26th of this month. The Hawkeyes still 1.5 back of the Hoosiers in the Big Ten women's standings. Indiana now 13-1. And 23-1, Iowa 11-2 and 19-5 in the Big Ten standings. Iowa with an opportunity here coming up this weekend. Rutgers coming to town. It is a Sunday afternoon affair. Rutgers 4-9 and 10-15. Some very winnable games coming up here for Coach Lisa Bluder and her team. Hawkeyes, they've got, what, Rutgers this weekend, then Wisconsin coming up Wednesday. Return trip to Nebraska. I think three really tough ones to close here for the Hawkeye women's team. Nebraska coming up. You beat them at home back on January 28th, but it was a tight contest, especially that first quarter. And then Nebraska made it close at the end. That's coming up on the 18th. Game at Maryland. You know, they're looking for some revenge after the loss at Carver, and then a game coming up with Indiana. So two games that you can't guarantee anything, obviously, in college hoops, but two games that you probably move into the win column with Rutgers and Wisconsin, and then tough ones down the stretch. So who knows what's going to happen for either of these teams is not a cupcake walk by any means, not a cakewalk by any means here for either Indiana or Iowa on the women's side down the stretch here in the Big Ten. 319-366-1600. Love to hear your thoughts about Hawkeye basketball from last night. Got some important games this weekend. If want to know what we're covering, you can always check out our broadcast schedule at kgymradio.com. But we've got Iowa State men coming up tomorrow against Oklahoma State. That's a 4 o'clock pregame and a 5 o'clock tip-off. Some Missouri Valley Women's Conference action tonight on the calendar as Drake visits Valpo and Northern Iowa plays at UIC. The return matchups, the opposite. UNI at Valpo, Drake at UIC coming up on Sunday on the women's side of things. And the Iowa State women also in action this weekend, Saturday evening against West Virginia over in Morgantown. We'll get to some NBA maybe later on in the show, but we got plenty of Super Bowl talk to get to. Your picks for the game, who do you think will win the MVP, or a bold prediction? Those thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600. Spencer on Sports continues after this on a Friday on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it is going to be a sunny and chilly day today. Temperatures are going to be held to around 30 degrees this afternoon, and then later on tonight it will drop down into the teens. Winds will start to pick up out of the south, though, and that will drive in some warmer air, leading to some melting to start to happen as we go into the weekend. Temperatures are going to be in the upper 30s to low 40s Saturday and Sunday with plenty of sunshine. That's your latest Iowa News Now weather first forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
The Freeze Fest 5K has become a must-run event for Eastern Iowans. Shake off the cabin fever and join the fun February 18th at Wanatee Park in Marion. Come for the race. Stay for the food, music, and prizes. You'll also be helping the Boys and Girls Clubs of Cedar Rapids.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
The bank here is now the bank here, here, and here. Fairfax State Savings Bank has a new third location in the heart of Kingston Village in Cedar Rapids. This new location, focused on commercial and private lending, demonstrates Fairfax State Savings Bank's dedication to growing alongside you in the corridor. Fairfax State Savings Bank, in Fairfax, Amana, and now by appointment for commercial and private lending in Cedar Rapids at their new Kingston office, Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Honda HR-V, CR-V, Pilot, Passport, and Ridgeline. They all have one thing in common. They never back off from a challenge. Available with all-wheel drive, the Honda SUV lineup has the performance you can count on and the capability to amaze. It's no wonder Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com named Honda the 2022 Best Value Brand.
So get to your Central Midwest Honda dealer. Honda gets the Midwest.
Based on 2022 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.
Race to savings at Menards. Get the best quality Dutch Boy paints at the best prices. Pick out the perfect color of Platinum Plus Interior Flat Paint. It's a quality one coat paint and primer in one, saving you valuable time. Just $44.89 a gallon. Complete the project with a great deal on Quick Solutions 2-inch trim brushes and 3/8 nap roller covers. Just $1.99 each. Race to savings on your paint project. Good through February 18th.
Save big money at Menards.
There's always something special at Siegel.
Save up to 60% off retail this Valentine's Day with a gift from Siegel's Jewelry. Siegel's has an amazing selection of designer, custom, and estate jewelry and watches. gold is still at historic high prices. Sell or trade in your gold for even greater savings. Seagulls, 3525 First Avenue Southeast, Cedar Rapids, just south of Town and Country Shopping Center. Remember,
there's always something special at Seagulls.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 2:30 on the button. Don't often get it straight up where it's 2:30 in 0 seconds, but that's why we do what we do around here. We're ultra professional on this program. I say that very tongue-in-cheek. 319-366-1600, Spencer on Sports, back with you. Already halfway through the show. This time flies by when you're having fun. Happy Friday. Glad to be with you as always. 319-366-1600. Talk or text line wide open for you here this afternoon. Doug in Iowa City. We talked Iowa hoops to start the show. Both the men and women falling last night in the battles versus top five ranked teams. Doug in Iowa City pointing out on the men's side getting killed on the boards 43-23 did not help Iowa's cause last night. Very true. Purdue's a really good rebounding team. Obviously, got to give them credit for that. But yeah, losing the rebounding battle, they lost it against Illinois, but were able to survive. But when you're losing the rebounding battle by that much, 43-23, that's obviously a huge margin by 20. Edie, like we said, 14 rebounds. He had the bulk of the 43. Caleb First had 10. Four apiece for Gillis and Smith last night. 43 total rebounds for Purdue. Second chance points were in favor of Purdue as well last night, 18-12. So, yeah, gotta get better on the boards. Can't have a drought. I mean, it's very basic analysis, but I mean honestly, can't shoot 29% from the floor in the first half, get down by 17 and score 52 points and a half, but still lose in the game. That's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. But appreciate that, Doug, in Iowa City at 319-366-1600. Super Bowl 57 coming up here this weekend. Chiefs and the Eagles, speaking of things on the air, we've got it for you Sunday. All the analysis you could ever want, courtesy of Westwood One Sports. 1 p.m. sharp. We got it for you here on KGYM pregame show. The actual pregame show, I believe, starts at 4 after all the analysis shows. And then at 5:30 is the kickoff for the big game, final NFL game of the season, as the Chiefs and Eagles do battle out at the home of the Arizona Cardinals in the Phoenix area, Glendale, Arizona. Not a lot of line movement on this one. In fact, I don't think it's moved at all. I was checking Circa Sports during the break, still listing the Eagles as a 1.5-point favorite, over-under set at 51 for the contest. Patrick Mahomes, rarefied air, being an underdog. Only the 10th time in his career he's been an underdog. First time in the playoffs, and he'll try to get a Super Bowl ring against an Eagles team that's one of the best and was the best in the NFC. We talked a little bit about, heard from the quarterbacks earlier this week. Mahomes, who's been there, won a Super Bowl, beating the 49ers, and then of course lost to Tampa Bay in 2020. Eagles getting back, first time back since they won it over the Patriots back in 2017. Jalen Hurts starting his rise toward being one of the good quarterbacks in the league. Both quarterbacks dealing with some injuries during parts of the season. Of course, Hurts with that shoulder injury. Patrick Mahomes, we heard a little bit yesterday about his status. He thinks he's going to be as close to 100% as he can be with his ankle injury that he suffered in that game against Jacksonville. That's something to watch for both guys, obviously. Who can stay healthy if either quarterback is feeling any effects still of said injury? Is that going to impact their game and impact how they play and impact how their team does? We saw that in the in the NFC Championship game, where Brock Purdy goes out with that injury, the elbow injury. He's out. Niners are down to their fourth string quarterback. That changed the game. And you know, obviously, if either quarterback re-aggravates their injury, from Mahomes the ankle, Hurts the shoulder, you know, it could seriously impact how this football game is played and the outcome of the game. Some interesting storylines to watch. You've heard them all. ESPN has been covering them in their national shows, but you got the top passing offense versus the top passing defense. It's the third Super Bowl matchup where the number one passing offense is faced off against the number one passing defense. And if you're looking for trends, the trend is that the number one pass defense has won out. Last time it happened was probably one of the worst Super Bowls of all time, where Seattle, Legion of Boom, blew out Peyton Manning and the Broncos 43-8. That was the last time it happened. So it's been a while, been 10 years since it happened. And we'll see if that trend, if it is a trend indeed, 10 years later, does remain true. Something interesting I saw, I was reading up on the game and reading up on kind of this postseason path for both the Chiefs and the Eagles. Both teams like to start fast, and neither of them have trailed in either of the two games that they have played this postseason. It's going to be the first Super Bowl where both teams come into the game without trailing at any point in that postseason run. It's been a while since a team has won the Super Bowl without trailing. I go all the way back to 1991 and the then Washington Redskins when they won the Super Bowl without trailing in their entire postseason run. And who's gonna start fast? Who's gonna score first? Is that going to mean that team's gonna move on to win the championship? Who knows, obviously, but something to watch and something to keep track of if you're a fan of meaningless stats, meaningless stats like I am. Of course, we mentioned the teams in this game. They've both won Super Bowls within the last 5 years. The Eagles back in 2017, the Chiefs back in 2019, and two of the young stars of the game at quarterback. We mentioned that Mahomes, who just won another league MVP last night, getting 48 to 50 first place votes, looking to add another Super Bowl trophy, Super Bowl ring to his collection. Jalen Hurts, who's looking to lead the Eagles to another championship here, and maybe start. And there's, you know, I'm seeing the D word dynasty start to be thrown out there. It's kind of hard to have a dynasty if you've only won it once in the last 5 years. But people think this Eagles team, if they keep it up, they keep the band together, could be one of the best in the NFC for years to come. Considering how, you know, the NFC's got a lot of questions with it, with, you know, Aaron Rodgers and where he's going to go in the NFC North, or if he stays in the NFC at all. And, you know, the NFC West with the Rams taking a step back this year, the 49ers and their quarterback issues, NFC South with Tom Brady leaving. Maybe it is the Eagles that emerge as the team to beat here for the next several years if they are able to pull off a victory here this weekend in Glendale. But it's going to be one of those games. I think I talked about the injuries briefly. You know, who stays healthy is not just with quarterbacks either, but with their key players. You know, the Chiefs have had some injury issues at wide receiver, seeing, you know, possibility of former Iowa Hawkeye Amir Smith-Marset, who's on the Chiefs, in case you didn't know that. He's on the Chiefs, kind of a roller coaster season for him, going from the Vikings to the Bears, now to the Chiefs, and now potentially getting a Super Bowl ring here this weekend against the Eagles. Seeing maybe, you know, him getting some sparse playing time if certain players can't go. A lot of people are talking about Kadarius Toney, how he's going to play. Is he going to be the X factor for the game? I think that's something to watch. You know, staying healthy up front, too, is big, especially against teams that that both have really good players on defense that can rush the passer. You look at Hassan Reddick for Philly. You look at Chris Jones for Kansas City. You know, they've got really good players on both sides of the ball and such an evenly matched game. Maybe that's why, and I know that's why, we haven't seen a ton of movement with the betting line this year. Again, Circa listing the Eagles at minus 1.5. Travis Kelce, big. You know, I think he's going to play a big role in this game. I feel like he's got to catch a touchdown pass, right? It's something, you know, you watch a Chiefs game and you're like, okay, when is Kelce going to catch a touchdown? And I don't feel like it would be a true Chiefs game, period. Not just the Super Bowl, but a Chiefs game if you're not seeing Mahomes to Kelce. I saw John on the text line saying he's betting $1 that both Kelces score a touchdown. That's plus 20,000. Good luck with that. If you can get Jason Kelce to get a touchdown, it's not impossible. So you're telling me there's a chance, but good, if you are actually betting that, John, good luck to you. And if you are a winner, I'm not saying you should share it with us because you probably won't. But that's an all-time W if you are able to score that bet. Jason, I mean, it had to be like a fumble. Or a Philly special, right? Are they going to do a Philly special? I feel like you get to a big game like this. Doug Peterson's not there, but I feel like Nick Sirianni's the kind of guy that, you know, he's going to pull out all the stops. He wants to win the game. He's going to do whatever it takes to win. So if he can get Jason Kelce, that's something I think, you know, it's not impossible. I think Travis Kelce is the sure bet, unless there's some weird injury we don't know about or he just gets completely shut down by the Eagles' D. But, yeah, not impossible. You get a fumble in the end zone. The center falls on the ball. Say, you know, Miles Sanders fumbles the ball into the end zone. Jason Kelce falls on it. Can be done. Not impossible. 319-366-1600. But I mentioned Travis Kelce, and you look at both tight ends too. He leads all tight ends in receptions per game, receiving yards per game, and yak yards after catch per game. Dallas Goedert in the top five of those categories too. So you could see a big day for both guys in that contest in the Super Bowl on Sunday. And defensively, I think this is where it comes down to for me is defense. Who's going to get the most pressure in the game? The Eagles' offensive line is a fantastic unit. I think all of them, if I'm not mistaken, were Pro Bowl selections or all pro selections, one of the two. My brain is so full of football content and knowledge lately that I try to parse it out sometimes, and it doesn't go the way it's planned. But either way, Chiefs pass rush versus the Eagles' offensive line and the Eagles' pass rush versus the Chiefs offensive line, I think, is going to be a big key to watch. Of course, the Eagles with, 70 sacks in the regular season, 8 more in the postseason, so 78 total. The Chiefs were second in the regular season with 55 sacks. The third time, the top two teams with defensive sacks have met in the Super Bowl, which is crazy to say. But like I said, so evenly matched up front that it's going to be a good game. I don't think, you know, I'd be surprised if it was a blowout in this contest coming up here on Sunday. As for a pick, I honestly, I've been going back and forth. I know what I have written down, but I just feel reading the info that they want you to read, and I'm sure those sports books put out there, so you make your, you know, your wager on a certain side, and then you're wrong and you lose your money. Yeah, I feel like I've been suckered into that stuff. So I think the Eagles are going to win. That's my pick. I feel like I'm doubting Patrick Mahomes, and that's going to come back to bite me. Isaac's nodding his head at me like I'm, You moron, you're picking. That's what Isaac's thinking in his head. I feel like I'm doubting Patrick Mahomes, and I shouldn't. And yes, that is where I am kind of like on the fence here with it. I've said out loud on the radio to you that I think the Eagles are going to win. So I'm going to stick with that. Confidence level of him assigning confidence points are very, very small. Because I think you look at if Mahomes is even close to 100%, Eagles pass rush gets him into some tight spots, tight windows, and he does what only Patrick Mahomes can do. Moves the ball down the field, throws a touchdown pass, maybe to Travis Kelce. I think the Chiefs definitely have a chance, and I think they definitely can and might even will win this football game. But I said it. I think the Eagles are going to win. It's going to be close. Putting a number on it, 23-20. There we go. So feel like the ultimate, that's not a cop-out, but the ultimate kind of, I'm not sure what's going to happen, so I'm going to predict a close game and then watch we get 38-3 or something like that. That's my thoughts. I'll take the Eagles. That means you out there should hammer the Chiefs. But we'll see what happens. 319-366-1600. John, are you asking for my opinion on the first drive result? Or are you saying that's something you're betting? 319-366-1600. John says, first drive result, punt, touchdown, field goal, or other. Whoo, boy. Since I'm a member of the Sickos committee, I'll go punt. Punting is winning. Therefore, if the Eagles punt on the first drive, they are winning the game because punting is winning. There we go. That's my answer, and I'm kind of sticking to it. 319-366-1600. A little more football talk. Recap the rest of those NFL awards and maybe some basketball or baseball on the other side. Spencer at Sports on a Friday in the gym.
In the 1940s, everything had an air of romance. Women wore red lips and high heels just to go to market. Gentlemen sported handsome full-length wool coats and stylish hats. And the movies featured sweet and wonderful stories of love. Times and fashions have changed, but that sense of romance remains at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Since 1947, the Dickens family has been offering gifts of love on Valentine's Day. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, they understand that Valentine's Day is a day to be swept away by the magic of romance. Stop and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Working out has proven to increase your self-esteem, help with depression, anxiety, and stress. At iGym, we care about you as a person. That's why we have personal trainers who can tailor a plan for weight loss and strength, group exercise classes, saunas, and other amenities to help you keep a positive work-life balance.
This year, I'm doing it for me.
This year, I'm joining iGym for me.
Start your health journey for less than a dollar a day. Come in for a free tour or go to joinigymia.com to learn more.
Presenting the largest sports and Pokemon cards and collectible shows in Cedar Rapids in many years.
This Sunday from 9 to 3.
Come to the Ramada Hotel on 33rd Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Admission is free. 80 plus tables.
Presented by JC Shows.
Details on Facebook at JC Shows IA.
Ray Magliazzi here for eBay Motors. You're driving along and some Nimrod cuts you off. You hit the horn. Jeez, it sounds like a goose in distress. Time to head over to eBay Motors. They have horns for every make and model, not to mention horn pads, steering wheels, wiring, and more. 122 million parts. You can even go for an upgrade. That looks like Mr. Cutoff Man needs a new seat cover. Try eBay Motors, pal. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
Football season is winding down. Basketball and hockey are heating up, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats Rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of the 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions.
Just like that, we're back at 249 with Spencer on Sports here on this Friday, February 10th, 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brummelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. A couple other NFL notes to get to before we dive into a little NBA action to wrap up the show. I mentioned NFL honors handed out last night. Patrick Mahomes, like I mentioned during our Super Bowl talk, getting 48 of 50 first place votes and winning the NFL MVP. First of what he hopes are two victories this weekend in Arizona. Other two first place votes went to Jalen Hurts, one going to him, one going to Josh Allen. Second MVP award for Mahomes in his 6-year career. 10th player ever to win the award twice. Justin Jefferson of the Vikings, the AP Offensive Player of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year going to Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers. What's a 49er? I don't know. 49ers. Nick Bosa getting the Defensive Player of the Year. His coordinator, and well, now former coordinator and head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, getting the AP Assistant Coach of the Year. The Jets. Everybody's still in Jets fan country pining for Aaron Rodgers to come to New York. Mike Greenberg, host of Greeny here on KGYM, one of them. If you listen to his show weekdays from 9 to 11 here in the gym, he is openly cheering for Aaron Rodgers to join the New York Jets. Well, the Jets have a pretty solid young core. Breece Hall, of course, tore his ACL. He'll be back, hopefully better than ever, but they swept the Rookie of the Year awards. Pretty impressive. Offensive Rookie of the Year going to Garrett Wilson, the rookie out of Ohio State, and the Defensive Rookie of the Year going to Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati. Giants head coach Brian Daboll, the AP Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, going to Geno Smith of the Seattle Seahawks, and Dak Prescott getting the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023 also taking a defense, also announced yesterday, taking a defensive tilt. Not often you see that, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame class bringing in some of the best corners in league history. Rondé Barber, also Revis Island, Darrell Revis, a Hall of Famer now. Joe Thomas, University of Wisconsin alum, obviously, probably one of the best players in Browns history, considering he played for, 10 seasons on some really bad football teams. Joe Thomas, the left tackle, inducted to the Hall of Fame. Also, Zach Thomas and DeMarcus Ware, two really good linebackers of their time, inducted to the Hall of Fame. Among the other selections, Don Coryell, head coach, Chuck Howley as well, listed or put into the Hall of Fame, and Ken Riley also will be enshrined in Canton coming up in August. So some good names there, some solid names, some well-deserved names announced as the Hall of Fame class of 2023. And for 2024, some intriguing names coming up. In 2024, Julius Peppers, among the players eligible for Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement coming up in 2024, along with Antonio Gates, Andrew Luck, Sebastian Janikowski, Jamal Charles. We are totally remembering some guys here this afternoon, along with Brandon Marshall. All those players, among the many that are now eligible for the Hall of Fame coming up in 2024. 319-366-1600. Quick look at the NBA from last night. No LeBron. Game you heard here on KGYM last night as the Bucks took on the Los Angeles Lakers. Milwaukee winning 115-106 behind 38-10-6 from Giannis. Dennis Schroeder leading the way for the Lakers as he scored 25. In the loss, the Bulls losing to the Brooklyn Nets 116-105 last night. Zach LaVine with 38 for Chicago. In the loss, one of the pieces the Nets The Nets got in the Kyrie trade Spencer Dinwiddie, scoring 25 in the win for Brooklyn. Orlando beating Denver 115-104. Atlanta a win over Phoenix 116-107. You've got the Kings and Keegan Murray taking on Kyrie and Dallas tonight out in Sacramento. That's one of the games of interest tonight. Memphis taking on Minnesota down in Memphis. Also the Bucks on the road back-to-back for them as they take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Two national TV games tonight. You've got the Boston Celtics taking on the Charlotte Hornets. All due respect to the Charlotte Hornets, who decided they should be on national TV. One of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference taking on the best team in the East. I don't make the schedule. ESPN knows, but that's your first game of the evening. Cleveland and New Orleans, the other game tonight as well. Some other NBA news, All-Star changes, All-Star lineup changes. Anthony Edwards of the T-Wolves, De'Aaron Fox of the Kings, and Pascal Siakam of Toronto have been named injury replacements for the All-Star game in Salt Lake City. Edwards and Fox replacing Steph Curry and Zion Williamson in the West. Siakam will replace Kevin Durant in the East. Also, some other reserves to starters movements. Joel Embiid, Lauri Markkanen, and Ja Morant also getting promoted from the reserves roster to the starting lineup for the All-Star game coming up in Salt Lake City. That's next week already. I heard to believe the All-Star game is coming up here in the NBA. In case you missed it, too, the World Baseball Classic rosters have been announced for all the countries participating. United States roster, including quite a few notables from the U.S., Pete Alonso and Paul Goldschmidt at first base, Nolan Arenado of the Cardinals taking the third base spot there. Tim Anderson of the White Sox, also Trey Turner, Bobby Witt Jr. No surprise, Mike Trout and Mookie Betts are on the roster alongside with Kyle Schwarber and Kyle Tucker, Cedric Mullins in there as well. Adam Wainwright on the roster from the Cardinals, Lance Lynn from the White Sox, among others. Clayton Kershaw, Nestor Cortez among the pitchers going for the United States. Some other notables playing for their home countries. Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves playing for Venezuela. Xander Bogaerts, now the Padres, will play for the Netherlands. Freddie Freeman going to play for home Canada of the Dodgers. Francisco Lindor playing for the Puerto Rican team. And Luis Robert of the White Sox will play for Cuba, as will Julio Rodriguez. He'll play for the Dominican Republic, one of the hottest names in baseball, Julio Rodriguez of the Seattle Mariners. I think he's going to do big things coming up here in 2023. That'll do it for us. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the big game. We'll talk to you Monday at 2 here on KGYM.